We're in John chapter 10, starting at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Wolf, wolf, cried the shepherd boy, and the villagers, they came out, but there was no wolf. Wolf, wolf, cried the shepherd boy a second time, and the villagers came out again, but there was no wolf. Wolf, wolf, cried the shepherd boy, but this time there really was a wolf. And the villagers thought that it was a hoax, so they stayed put. And the wolf scattered the flock. This well-known fable teaches us not to lie. But it's also painting a picture of what bad shepherding looks like. The shepherd boy was bored, so to amuse himself, he cried, "Wolf," when there was none. He was putting his own interests above caring for the flock. And this is what Israel's leaders were doing in Ezekiel chapter 34. Instead of caring for the flock, they were feeding themselves on the curds and choice animals. Now, these are all examples of how not to care. So the question is this morning, what does it mean for us at Park Street Church to really care about people? Does it mean having really good organizational structures? Does it mean having sound policies and safeguarding, for example? Does it mean having lots of events and meetings? Does it mean serving fabulous tea and coffee? Well, all these things are good and helpful, but they're not the best ways in which we can care for people deeply. So might I suggest that we offer the best care for people by firstly reflecting on Christ's care, and then secondly, reflecting Christ's care. Now, if you're like me, I have an unhelpful tendency to want to skip through study and just get to the application. You know, what do I have to do? But reflecting well on Christ's care in Scripture helps us to reflect well Christ's care in practice. So let's do that now. Let's reflect on Christ's care in Scripture as we turn back to John chapter 10, verses 10 to 18. Here we read of a good shepherd who cares deeply for the sheep. And he's not just a good shepherd, is he? He is the good shepherd. He's in a league of his own. So there's no better place or person to turn to when thinking about caring for people. And Jesus cares firstly for people by what he came to do. In verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus cares for his sheep because he came to give them life. Now, life in John's gospel is a massive theme. And it means to know the only true God. That's what life means. And this presupposes that people are in an initial state of death. Now, spiritual death means the opposite of knowing God. It means being cut off from a relationship with God because of sin. But Jesus cares for his sheep because he brings them into everlasting relationship with God. They don't just know about God, they know God personally. They have life in him. And Jesus says that his sheep have this life to the full. They have it in an extraordinary, abundant amount. It is eternal. And the word have there is in the present tense. It's not something that they will only have one day in the future, but they have it now from the moment they put their trust in him. And they have it forevermore. So right away, we are seeing that Jesus is totally different to the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who is this thief? Well, the context suggests that it was Israel's religious leaders, the Pharisees. In the previous chapter, in chapter 9, Jesus has restored the sight of a blind man. And verse 38 tells us that this man, he came to believe Jesus and he worshipped him. So there's a greater healing taking place here. The man is being brought to know God. He's being brought to life. He's like a lost wandering sheep being brought back into God's sheepfold. But the Pharisees aren't interested in this. They are not interested in the man's physical or spiritual welfare. And they've become like thieves, trying to rob people of their life in God and to keep them in death. They are bad, uncaring shepherds, much like Israel's bad shepherds in Ezekiel 34. They only care for themselves at the expense of the sheep. But Jesus cares deeply for his sheep because he came to bring them life and life to the full. Secondly, Jesus cares by what he lays down. So in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus cares for his sheep because he lays down his life for them. And he says this five times in the text that we've read. The good shepherd's death brings life to his sheep. And notice that he lays down his life by his own authority. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, I lay it down on my own accord. And he has the authority to lay it down and to take it back up again. And Jesus has all authority because he is one with the Father. And we see this in the phrase, I am the good shepherd. Firstly, I am points to Exodus chapter 3, where the Lord revealed himself to Moses as the I am. So by saying I am, Jesus is saying he is the Lord. And secondly, as the good shepherd, Jesus is fulfilling all what the Lord said that he would do in the Old Testament. So in Ezekiel 34, for example, the Lord said that he himself will search for and he will shepherd the flock. So again, by saying the good shepherd, Jesus is saying that he is the Lord. But it's quite striking, isn't it, how Jesus uses his lordship and authority. He lays down his life for his sheep. This is incredible. Now, Jesus is not like Adam and Eve who disobeyed God because they were craving power in their selfishness. Jesus is a better Adam who obeys the Father's command completely by using his power in humble service of his sheep. And verse 17 says, that's why the Father loves him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, says Isaiah. Each of us has turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And the very next verse from Isaiah 53 tells us how Jesus has used his authority. It says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. So Jesus saves his sheep by humbly becoming like a sheep himself. He represents all his flock and has died on the cross on their behalf, taking their sin upon himself. He became vulnerable to save vulnerable sinners. He died to give them life. And he did this because of love. Greater love has none than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He saw the wolves coming, but instead of scampering, he sacrificed himself. Instead of hurrying away, he humbled himself to being snatched and killed. And this was all part of God's plan, that through Jesus' death on the cross, his sheep may be protected, not just from wolves, but from something far worse, from wrath, from God's wrath or God's anger, which is his rightful judgment that their sins deserve. But the good shepherd cares for his sheep. He lays down his life for them on his own accord to guarantee that his sheep have life to the full. Amazing. Thirdly, Jesus cares by what he knows. In verse 13, he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus cares for his sheep because he knows them. So there's a wonderful unity between the good shepherd and his sheep. And that unity in verse 15 extends as well to the Father. And this is the mystery and the wonder of the gospel. Christ's sheep have everlasting life, and they have everlasting intimacy with the loving triune God. They are his family, and they belong to him forever. And all of this is possible because the good shepherd cares for them by laying down his life for them. Now compare this with the hired hand in verse 12. When he sees the wolf coming, he flees to protect himself, for he cares nothing for them. To him, the sheep are expendable when his interests are under threat. Not so with the good shepherd. Not so with him. He cares much for his sheep because he owns them, which means he knows them and that they know him. And fourthly, Jesus cares by what he gathers. In verse 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheepfold. I must bring them also. So Jesus cares for his sheep because he brings them, he gathers them. Now, these other sheep include Jews who had rejected him and Gentiles who were considered as unclean outsiders. But Jesus must bring them also. They too will listen to his voice when the Spirit applies Jesus' words with faith to their hearts. His sacrifice washes his sheep clean, and his Spirit calls and binds them to himself. Both these works Jesus must do to give them life to the full. And the result of which is there beautifully at the end of verse 16. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. This is the gospel. This is the gospel, that God will dwell with his people and they will be his people and he will be with them and be their God. And this is all illustrated by a sheepfold. In the ancient Near East, shepherds would protect their sheep overnight from thieves and wolves by being in the sheepfold with the sheep. It's a picture of life to the full. One God, one people, who are all one in Christ Jesus forever. Doesn't that sound brilliant? Does that sound brilliant? But are you part of it? Have you responded with faith to the Good Shepherd's care? And have you responded to his call for you to come into his sheepfold to have life and life to the full? Have you done that? Now, Jesus really cares for his sheep. Whereas wolves are scattering, Jesus is gathering, and he will continue to do so until all of his sheep are home. So far, we've been reflecting on Christ's care in Scripture. When we do this with faith, we are listening to the Good Shepherd. That's what his sheep are doing here in verse 16. But in this text, there is also somebody else who is listening. I don't know if you spotted who it is. But it's the Son, it's Jesus. He is listening to the command of the Father in verse 18. Now, this doesn't mean that the Father is in some way inferior. So this doesn't mean that the Son is inferior to the Father. But he is showing us that there is a link between listening to God and caring for his sheep. So the Son listens and so lays down his life for the sheep. So when we listen to God, we will naturally be caused to care for his sheep. So reflecting on Christ's care moves us to reflecting his care. And his care is the fuel in the engine when it comes to caring for other people well. So how does this happen? How does reflecting on Christ's care help us to reflect his care to other people? Here are four ways. Firstly, by what we do. The reason Jesus came was to give life to his sheep. Now, we can't give life to people, can we? But we can all share this life by pointing people to Jesus by our words and by our works. This is what we are to do as Christians. Now, Harold Senkbeil, who's a church pastor and author, he says this: the real problems occur when we set aside the essential for the non-essential. And then he goes on to say that many churches spend 9/10 of their energy on the non-essential. Now, we want to be keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the gospel of Jesus and the life that he brings. This is what we want people to hear about. This is what we want people to know about and to have and to experience personally. And that's why Park Street Church exists. This is our essential activity. That doesn't mean that all the other tasks that are non-essential are not important. They are. But their role is to facilitate this one primary gospel activity. So let's think about safeguarding, for example. Safeguarding is not our primary activity, but it is facilitating gospel work to happen in a safe and suitable manner here. Therefore, it is an expression of real gospel care for people. And it's the same with lots of other things, isn't it? With cleaning, with being on the welcome team, creche, serving tea and coffee, driving people to and from church. All these important jobs facilitate people hearing the Good Shepherd's voice. Now, people in Kendal and in Shap and in the surrounding areas, they have all kinds of needs. But their greatest need is to be brought from death to life. That's their greatest need. And we can facilitate that work by our care shown in so many ways. So, for example, Jesus in chapter 9, he took care of a man who was born blind. And it was through this care that this man came to know life. So the gospel is the focal point of everything that we do. We care for them because we want them to know life to the full in Jesus. Secondly, we care for people by what we lay down. Jesus laid down his life. Now that, of course, doesn't mean that we are going to be going to the cross like he did. But the attitude of loving sheep by laying down our lives for them can be shown in so many ways, big and small. Robert Murray McShane, who was a Scottish church minister, he said this: I see a man cannot be a faithful minister until he gives up striving to attract people to himself and seeks only to attract them to Christ. Now, sin has caused us to turn in on ourselves. Rejecting God, what it does is it creates a void in us that can't remain empty. So our default is to fill that void with self. But we cannot empty ourselves of ourself and our pride because it's difficult. I mean, we should be doing it. If we don't empty ourselves, then we're just going to be full of ourselves. And people aren't going to see Jesus. They are just going to see us. But the problem is that it's not easy to empty ourselves of our pride, because pride, it causes us to be blind to our own selfishness. That's why we need to constantly reflect on the Good Shepherd, so that our blind eyes may be opened and our hearts changed. Jesus served his sheep by his sacrifice. He helped them by his humility. And his sacrifice and his humility paved the way for people to clearly see the care of the Good Shepherd and to hear his voice. So we best care for people by making less of ourselves and making more of Jesus, and pointing people to him by our lives and our words. Now, preaching a sermon for Christ's sake and not our own is just one of many, many, many ways we can lay down our lives for people practically. But it all comes from a changed heart. I don't know about you, but I don't like traveling on planes very much. I always get a bit anxious on a plane, especially at the start of the journey when they announce, in the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, never a good start. And not many people listen to that safety talk, do they? But if you do pay attention, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help other people. See, I have been listening. But it's the same principle, isn't it, in reflecting Christ's care to others. If we want to care for people well, we must first have our own hearts cared for by Christ. When his humility humbles us, our hearts are ready to help others. And people will still see Jesus in us. They'll see his humility reflected in us. When asked about the way to truth, Augustine replied this: the first way is humility, the second way is humility, and the third way is humility. So we care for people by humbly laying down our lives for them. Thirdly, we can care for people by what we know. So Jesus knows his sheep personally, and they know him. And we can reflect that by getting to know people. God is not distant, he's not uninterested. He is close, he is personal. And so we can reflect Christ's care by not being distant or uninterested, but by being close and personal with people. People are people. They are made for relationship. But how much more should Christ's sheep, who have been brought into an everlasting relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and with the flock, how much more should they value relationships? Relationships, by the way, are two-way. From my own experience, one of the traps we can fall into as Christians is thinking that we need to do everything for the other person. But what this can do is that it can make the other person feel as if they've got nothing else to contribute to the relationship. And sometimes we do all the talking, or we are reluctant to share our struggles with others because we just see ourselves as being superior sheep, and we shouldn't be having any problems at all in life. But you know, relationships are built on mutual trust. And to build that trust, we've just got to let people in. Now, this all takes time, of course, and talking, and we can't just open up to anybody at any time. However, people are relational, and we best care for them by knowing the person and the person knowing us. And this is done by talking together as people. Now, it might mean saying, I'm happy for you, let's celebrate, when somebody, to somebody who has something nice done to them or received something nice. Or when somebody does something nice for us, we might say, thank you for being concerned for me. It's so nice to feel that I'm not alone. Or when someone is struggling, we might say, you know, I'm really sorry to hear about that. Is there anything I can do to help you? Can I pray for you? Now, these are just all little examples of how we can foster trust by weeping with those who weep and by rejoicing with those who rejoice. And we can do this with all people, not just with Christians. It's important that we use our words to get alongside people, not to put them down and not to push them away. Interestingly, how does Jesus use his words in this text? Well, he uses his words to gather his sheep, and he gathers them for himself for a relationship. That's how Jesus uses his words. So we've much to learn from the Good Shepherd. Lastly, we can care for people by what we gather. Now, ultimately, Jesus gathers his sheep, but being united to him, he uses us by his grace and by his Spirit in this work. And Jesus is very intentional in this work of gathering. So 12 times he says in the text, I. And also 12 times he says, me or my. So all this is showing us just how much Jesus is doing to make his sheep his own forever. Ed Welsh, who is a Christian counselor and author, he says this, God takes initiative and moves towards us, so we take initiative and move towards others. So intention is key. So what might moving intentionally towards people look like for us? Well, it might mean to pray for somebody or to go and talk to somebody. And when we pray and talk, we want to be intentional with the person. And we want to intend for that person to come and be under Christ's care. So when we speak, for example, we can be intentional about getting to know the person we are speaking to. We can ask questions. You know, questions are a great way for us to get to know people better and to see where they are. Asking questions without being too intrusive. And also, we can listen to the answer. You ask a question, it's really good to listen as well to the answer. And not fill that space with your words. Just listen to the answer. It really shows genuine interest in the person that you are speaking to. One person who really helped me before I became a Christian was Mark Addison. I was coming to the youth group here. Mark was there, and he was coming over to me all the time, and he was really intentional about asking me how I am, what I do, how my life's going, how's school going. He just showed a genuine interest in me, and I felt really cared for. And I saw in Mark something different from all my friends at school. And after a while, I decided, you know, I want to be like Mark. I want to be like Mark because he's so caring. And I came to understand that Mark was actually reflecting the care of Christ to me. And so at the age of 17, I came to Christ. I wanted to be under Christ's care myself. I wanted to reflect this care to other people just as Mark did. Now, I don't know where I would be today if it hadn't been for Mark and for his care. Now, it was only a small thing that he did, but it made such a massive impact in my life. And by the way, Mark wasn't a leader of the youth. He wasn't a church leader at the time. He was just a peer. You don't have to be a church leader. You don't have to be an elder to be involved in gathering the sheep. We can all play our role in this really, really important job. And it's not just the sheep that are seemingly far away from church that need to be gathered. We all need gathering, don't we? Because we're all so prone to wandering away from the sheepfold. So in conclusion this morning, how do we at Pastor Church offer the best care for people? The safeguarding policy, by the way, is good. It offers guidelines as to how the vulnerable can be protected from abuse. It's really, really important. But it's not enough. It's not enough. We need to go beyond the words of a policy to the words of the Good Shepherd. In 1940, the UK was at a low. People were anxious. They were anxious about war. They were anxious about invasion. They needed care. And the stage was set for the one who would later be voted the greatest ever Briton, Winston Churchill. And Churchill brought calm and unity and pride and a sense of resolve to the nation. And he did this largely by his speeches. And in a speech on the 4th of June 1940, he famously said, "We will fight them on the beaches." And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, Churchill cared deeply for the people of our nation. But Jesus cares more. Jesus cares more. You see, Churchill never fought on the beaches. Never fulfilled his own words. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd who fulfills his own words by laying down his own life for us. He cares by speaking and by doing what he speaks. So by reflecting on what Jesus speaks in his word, we will be able to reflect his care to people. And his care is the best care. And people in Kendal and in Shap and in the surrounding areas, they need his care so desperately. So let us go and give them that care. Amen. Amen.